Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. The next day and a half probably will be crazy busy for healthcare.gov. That's the federal government's website for health insurance. It was a creation of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, created as a place for people to shop for health insurance meeting the requirements of the law. Since Florida did not create its own robust state health insurance exchange, it's healthcare.gov that Floridians who don't get insurance through their job or spouse, don't qualify for government insurance programs like Medicare or Medicaid, and want to follow the law, have to use. If that's you, you have until tomorrow. That's the first major deadline to get health insurance coverage by January 1st. In the first 5 weeks of open enrollment this fall, about 600,000 Floridians applied. Now, that's about half the number who ultimately signed up last year, so today and tomorrow are expected to be very busy. Busy for Florida Blue, too. The health insurance company is the biggest in Florida and expects to see 250,000 new people buy some type of its Affordable Care Act coverage for the first time. That would bring its Obamacare business to 600,000 Floridians with new and existing customers. It's about a third of the entire market here. Pat Garrity is the CEO at Florida Blue and its parent company, GuideWell. We had a long conversation about the business of health insurance, 3 years of Obamacare, the rising cost of health care, and the competition. The competition is where we began our conversation.
We've heard from United Healthcare that they're thinking about exiting the marketplace. We've heard that Cigna is considering the same strategy. We are staying the course at Florida Blue, and we are actively involved statewide in all 67 counties and all product levels. So we expect to have a strong open enrollment period this year.
And by strong, do you measure that by the number of new enrollees, the number of repeat enrollees?
Yep, in both areas, we expect to grow our enrollment. We expect to do a good job of retaining the people who we currently have enrolled. Our rate increase, if you will, across the state is about 8.5%, which is better than almost all of our competition. So we're seeing the ability to control costs in an effective way, and we think that is resonating with our existing customers as well as people that we are going out and recruiting.
Pat Garrity, let's talk about those premium price increases. 8% price increase compared to almost twice that for this calendar year for those Florida Blue ACA plans, doesn't it?
Yes, the rate increase is down significantly this year. I think we did the right thing by pricing last year. I think we're also seeing that we are getting the kind of effect that we all hoped for. Bringing people into coverage who previously didn't have coverage was an important change for folks because it gets them into regular care as opposed to all of the pent-up demand that people have when they're not covered. So we're seeing chronic care conditions that are down from 2015 compared to 2014. And we're also seeing fewer, on average, emergency room visits. So we're getting people to the right level of service. And we think that that is a good indication that over time, we can make this population healthier.
So what you're seeing is a slowing in the rate of increase for health insurance for those Florida Blue plans offered under the Affordable Care Act. And as you mentioned, some of your competitors in Florida, United Healthcare and others, have really seen profit cuts because of their ACA, their Affordable Care Act exposure. So how has Florida Blue been able to navigate this and raise premiums less this year for plans that take effect next year, and the competitors are making noise about potentially pulling out altogether?
So I think there's two things at work here. One is that our competitors, for the most part, are publicly traded companies, and they have to solve for Wall Street. They have to produce returns that satisfy their investors. We're a not-for-profit mutual insurance company, and that means that we don't have to solve for Wall Street. We set our prices to produce a return that's in the 2-3% range. So we're looking at investing back into our product and back into our organization for the benefit of the people who have our coverage. So I think that's one very, very distinct difference. Another distinct difference is we're the largest player. So with a population in the Affordable Care Act enrollment that's now well over 400,000 people, we have a mix of risk in our population. And having a sizable population, you have a better sense of what your cost is going to be 1 year to the next. So I think we are in a better position than our competition.
Is health insurance under the Affordable Care Act a game that is potentially in the future not to be played by for-profit health insurance carriers?
I can't predict for them how they intend to play. I can say for us that we think it's important for us to solve this issue because our mission is to help people and communities achieve better health across our entire state. So our goal is to serve as many people in Florida as we possibly can. And Florida is our primary focus. A lot of the other people we're playing against in this health insurance game are coming from other states, and so they can pick and choose whether they play in Florida, play in part of Florida. We're committed to the state. We're committed to the people that we serve in this state. And so I can speak to our mission, what we think is important, and we're committed to Florida and Floridians and providing the best coverage that we possibly can.
Well, let me ask, Pat, as that plays itself out over the next couple of years, and I know it's difficult to make predictions about the future, even harder to make predictions about health insurance in the future and health coverage in the future and health costs in the future. But if these for-profit competitors tend to reduce exposure in Florida, eliminate Florida, or even take themselves off the healthcare.gov exchange altogether, doesn't that provide less competition, less price competition for the user?
Well, ultimately, that could provide less price competition, but I can tell you right now, Florida is a highly competitive marketplace. We look at it as one of the most competitive marketplaces in the nation, and so that is not the current reality. So it's hard to project what that looks like in the future. I think it's important, though, to understand that in a competitive marketplace, it's important that there be competition in all parts of the market. What do I mean when I say that? We focused an awful lot in this discussion over the last few years around competition between health plans. I think it's also important to understand that there needs to be competition on the delivery of care side of the equation. Because what we've seen across the country is if the marketplace for delivery of healthcare consolidates around single players, that they get to control the price. And you could have 10 health plans, but if you've got one hospital in that community and they buy the physician groups, they set the price. And so it doesn't matter how many competing health plans you have. So it's important that we have balance, we have competition in all parts of the marketplace to the benefit of the consumer.
And I want to ask you about the narrowing of healthcare plans or providers and some of the consolidation we've seen in the delivery aspects. You guys are obviously on the front end and act as the middleman, so to speak, between the consumer, the patient, and the healthcare delivery, acting as that insurance carrier. As you are pushing through this open enrollment season, you're seeing some of the competitors have some trouble making their profit margins, their profit goals. You as a nonprofit at Florida Blue, as you've described, your headroom, so to speak, can be much narrower because you don't have shareholders necessarily to answer for. As Florida Blue is seeing this enrollment season and this premium season, what are you experiencing in terms of price selection and sensitivity for returning Obamacare customers and for some new customers into the marketplace?
Yeah, this market is very price sensitive. There's no question about it. Whether it's existing or new customers, it's extraordinarily price sensitive. The important part for us is that we create value for that customer and that we have transparency to the customer so they understand what they're purchasing, not just the benefit level, but also understanding who is in the delivery system as they make that purchase. So, Tom, I think you know that we built retail centers across the state.
Mm-hmm.
Four of those are in South Florida alone. And that was a a real effort on our part to connect to the consumer, to be transparent, to give people a place where they can actually sit down and in a thoughtful way understand all the nuance of our product. We believe the partnerships that we create with physician groups and with the hospitals that we're working with are very critical to create value and a focus on value. So that's why our reimbursement models are shifting from pure fee-for-service to really paying for better outcomes, greater efficiency in the system. That way, everybody wins. When we create those kinds of arrangements, we're presenting back to a customer a cost that is more affordable to them, has a higher emphasis on quality and outcomes, and has the opportunity to maintain that cost into the future. And I think that's what you're seeing with our renewal pricing this year.
By maintaining that cost, you mean a slowing down of the year-over-year increases in the premium that health customers pay?
Absolutely. It's all on a relative basis. And obviously, with a aging population and with an obesity epidemic that we're all challenged to take on, our goal is to keep that cost as low as possible and as affordable to the consumer as we possibly can make it.
Pat Garrity, the boss at Florida Blue, the largest provider of individual health insurance in Florida. Still to come, 3 years into Obamacare and fewer plans to choose from.
We narrowed significantly from all of the choices that we had out there to a more standardized group of offerings, if you will.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. It was 3 years ago when healthcare.gov launched and then all but crashed right away. We're now nearing the end of the third sign-up period for Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and its individual mandate requiring you to have health insurance or pay a tax. A lot's changed in those 3 years. Healthcare.gov works. Millions of people in Florida have signed up for health insurance, many for the first time, and insurance companies have trimmed the number of plans they offer. During that first sign-up period, the largest provider of individual health insurance in the state, Florida Blue, it had more than 70 plans with over 300 different variations in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties each. This year, it's selling fewer than two dozen plans with 93 total variations. Changes in coverage and attracting customers is where we pick up our conversation with Pat Garrity, CEO of Florida Blue.
We can tell from the inquiries that people are interested in keeping their cost in line. So the idea that some people will shift to lower benefit plans to help that cost is highly probable. That they'll shift to plans that have tighter networks as opposed to wide open networks is also highly probable. We've seen a lot of interest in that. You're now talking about individual choice and selection. And each of us as consumers make those trade-offs every day. So if you have a choice between a range of products, and there are some products that have a narrower network, but they include people that you're willing and comfortable to see for your care, you may well make that price-value trade-off where you take the tighter network because it's your choice. It's not somebody else's choice. And we do see that driver in the marketplace.
Let's talk more about the types of plans that Florida Blue is offering under the Affordable Care Act and the insurance marketplace this year as we look forward to the insurance year of 2016 and how the makeup of those plans maybe has changed over the past couple of years. Pat, as Florida Blue prepared its plan strategy for this 2016 insurance year for the ACA plans, how did you approach the coverage? How did you approach limited networks versus open networks? Has that kind of plan construction strategy from the insurance company's perspective, has that changed over the past 3 years now?
I think it's modified. Listen, when we first started the first year, we weren't quite sure what to expect. And we had hundreds and hundreds of plan offerings. And actually what we found was that was too confusing to the consumer. So, you know, when you say people want choice, but if you give them unlimited choice, people glaze over and say, I don't know what to do. And so we narrowed significantly from all of the choices that we had out there to a more standardized group of offerings, if you will. Some that have lower deductibles than others. They all have wellness and the ability to visit physicians at pretty low costs, because those are the kinds of things we want to encourage. We want people to have care. We want people to access that particular physical exam, that wellness check, to make sure that they're in and in consultation with their provider. There are other plans where the deductibles are higher because people are trying to keep their premiums down. If you combine a higher deductible plan with a tighter network, then you can have the lowest possible cost. So we were trying to make sure we were constructing options based on what that consumer's interest, ability to pay, took all of that into account. And so that was a very important feature for us. Tom, you'll also note that in South Florida in particular, we have some new ventures, like we constructed medical clinics with the Sanitas organization out of South America, where we now have medical clinics that are GuideWell and Clinisanitas, where we've opened three of those clinics now during this open enrollment period to be very focused on taking care of people in sort of a one-stop shopping kind of way. There's a broad range of services in those clinics, and we found a lot of interest in them as we were moving through this period of time.
Pat, has that also been a Florida Blue response to third-party costs that you felt were getting out of line with what you thought the marketplace could sustain, in addition to where you thought the value was?
Yeah, I think that's a fair observation, Tom. If you think about the price of a health plan, there's only a small piece of that that is the administrative costs related to what the insurer is doing.
Limited to 15%, I think, by law, right?
Correct. And most of the 15% in the small group, 20% in the individual market. But you're talking about, the lion's share of the cost, 80 to 85% of the cost being on the what care is the individual getting. And so if we're going to be scrutinized and held accountable for the price of the premium, it sort of makes sense for us to have a bigger stake on the other side of the equation. And so we're finding the right partnerships. Clinisanitas, certainly in the South Florida market, over in the Tampa market, we reached an arrangement with a diagnostic clinic where we now own that medical clinic. And so we have different arrangements depending upon the marketplace and what we think the right opportunity is.
It really changes, though, how a consumer can look at Florida Blue, not just the pass-through of the risk of an individual's health, but now the pass-through of the risk as well as the delivery of the healthcare itself.
That's exactly right. And it's not just the consumer that can see us as much more of a partner in the quality of care that they're receiving. We're also finding that the hospitals that we approach are interested in partnering with us because they've seen that we've made real commitment to keeping people healthy in the first place.
So do you mean partnering beyond a healthcare provider that has a contract of prices that Florida Blue is willing to pay on behalf of an insured?
Yeah, I'm talking about an arrangement where the contract moves from just being a fee-for-service arrangement to where there are incentives for value created, the best outcomes, efficiency created. If you think about that and you're a delivery system, you want to be partnering with a health plan that actually has a stake in the equation with you and doesn't just say, we want to have a contractual arrangement and you bear all the risk. If you think about our membership, they have the opportunity to go to our retail centers. They have the opportunity to interface with some of our medical groups. They have our wellness programs if they're through an employer. So we have lots of things in place to help our membership stay well in the first place, which is an important part of when you're thinking about the overall cost or population management that a institution may be looking at. They want a partner who's as committed as they are to the health and well-being of the people that they're serving. We've made huge strides in that direction, and I think our partners in the delivery system see that and see that as distinctive.
Could you foresee an opportunity for Florida Blue to have an owned and operated significant healthcare facility beyond a diagnostic center or a primary care center?
Certainly there's a discussion of that in the marketplace, and I could tell you my answer is absolutely not. We have no interest in owning hospitals. I think people ought to do what they do. And I think, you know, you draw some lines about where you might blur that. But for me, no. I think Florida has well over 200 hospitals statewide. You're talking about huge capital commitments. That's not any place that we want to be. We want to partner with the people who already do that work and let them do it more effectively and efficiently while we help partner our services with them.
So I want to bring this back around to the ACA plans then. So this idea of Florida Blue not only partnering with health institutions, but now owning a diagnostic center, partnering with healthcare clinics, how is that coming back into the plans? Is that allowing Florida Blue to limit plans to those partnered facilities or even owned and operated facilities by Florida Blue?
Not at the scale we're at currently. I think, there'll be opportunity to look at that over time. But certainly there's, an opportunity for us to understand that level of the delivery system and create best practices with those facilities that we actually export to others that we work with. But Florida is a big place. There are a lot of people to serve and to cover. And so I think there's plenty of opportunity for us to be in very positive partnerships in the marketplace to make sure that we're providing to our covered membership all of the options that they need.
How much of this is a response, Pat, to the consolidation you've seen in some markets, for instance, here in South Florida, not only in the hospital side, but also some of the diagnostic and doctors group side? And how much of it is a response to Florida Blue trying to perhaps control its exposure even further?
Well, certainly we've been on this trail now for a couple of years. So recent consolidation does not play a role in what we were doing because this is a strategic plan that we've been working for the last few years. However, I think for me, it emphasizes that we're on the right path. Because as others consolidate, it makes sense for us to be making sure we've developed the partnerships, expanded those partnerships, and matured them so that we can deliver for our customers. At the end of the day, there's two very critical things: greater value, greater quality, and cost efficiency. That's really what we're talking about, the quality value piece and the efficiency piece for our customers. And I think these partnerships are allowing us to continue to develop that for them.
Does that development possibly extend into doctors groups or specialty groups?
Yes, absolutely. Colsanitas has specialty services that are included in their group, as an example. Mm-hmm. The diagnostic clinic over in Tampa is not just primary. It has specialty services that are offered. Our emergency medical facilities take us into places beyond just normal primary care. So we certainly are interested and capable of playing in a variety of spaces, but we want to do that in combination with our partners in the various marketplaces that we're in. This is a large enough market. There's enough that can be done collectively and collaboratively, and we continue to look for all the right partnerships to deliver the best services to our members.
As you continue to expand in this delivery side of the business, do you anticipate that could continue to reduce the number of plans that Florida Blue would offer on a marketplace in the future?
I think what you'll see, Tom, is as opposed to us eliminating all options, you'll see a range of options, and the ones that'll be most cost-effective will be the plans that have featuring the tighter networks where the most strategic relationships exist.
So the tighter networks that would include Florida Blue strategic networks is what you're saying?
Yes, correct.
More of our conversation with Florida Blue CEO Pat Garrity still to come. We talk about the push for transparency for healthcare prices.
Oh, I don't think you'd find us opposing it. I think we think that visibility to cost is an important place to be. We just want to make sure the devil is always in the detail around these arrangements.
This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. We're talking about health insurance in Florida today. The deadline is tomorrow to sign up for insurance through healthcare.gov in order to be covered by the first of the year. Here in Florida, Governor Rick Scott hopes to bring more transparency to the cost of health care in the year ahead. He says hospitals should be able to post their prices for everyone to see.
Put all the prices up on the menu board, just like Starbucks or anything else. You can just walk in. And what's it going to cost to see a doctor? What's it going to cost to get a procedure? The truth is we ought to be able to do that with all of our health care.
The governor wants to spend $5 million to create a database showing health care costs. Scott says hospitals would have to post what they actually get paid for every procedure from everyone, including insurance companies, in order to prevent price gouging. WLRN's Gina Jordan has more from Tallahassee.
The Governor's Commission on Healthcare and Hospital Funding held its first meeting in May. The 9-member panel has met more than a dozen times, hearing testimony about healthcare pricing and quality at Florida hospitals. Lindsay Barrick appeared before the commission earlier this month to talk about the high cost of breaking her pinky and not having insurance.
And so I contacted the hospital weeks out before my surgery to try and get a price quote, letting them know that I would be paying private pay, I would be willing to pay cash, and I was going to do everything in my power to try and pay for the surgery up front.
The cost quotes never came. Barrick trains horses and riders. She says her insurance was canceled shortly before her accident because she could no longer afford the premiums, which had quadrupled. A friend, who's a surgeon, agreed to operate on her finger for free, but Barrick had to pay for the operating room and other services at a Tallahassee hospital.
I at first just received a very large bill in the mail that said you owe us almost $18,000 with no itemization. I was not told what I was paying for. I was just told I owe this amount, and when I received the bill, they left me 4 days to pay it.
Barrick later received an itemized bill that she says included an $800 pregnancy test. She went over the bill with the surgeon.
He helped me mark everything that I was charged for and what it would have actually cost the hospital. And I mean, we're talking about pennies on the dollar where I was charged $800 for a $37 item, where I was charged $1,000 for a $2 item.
Governor Scott wants what's known as an all-payer claims database, so all parties who pay or are paid in a healthcare transaction can see the charges and expenses. That includes hospitals, insurance companies, and patients. The Florida Hospital Association has come out in support of the database.
It is the only way to really ensure transparency from everyone involved in the entire episode of care.
Bill Bell is general counsel for the association.
Patients receive the care, providers deliver the care, and health insurance companies pay for it. So the best way to truly empower patients is for everyone to be transparent about what they do and how much it costs.
Hialeah Republican Senator Rene Garcia doesn't like the idea just yet. Garcia chairs one health committee and sits on another in the Senate. He thinks people are mainly concerned about what comes out of their own pocket, even though the hidden costs may impact their health care premiums.
I think what the consumer is more worried about is what the cost to them is going to be. I think government's role in this case is to make sure that the consumer is protected, make sure that the consumer knows what they're paying.
More than a dozen states have established these databases. Florida's proposed database would be maintained by the State Agency for Healthcare Administration. I'm Gina Jordan in Tallahassee.
If the governor is successful, Florida Blue would be affected by this new effort to bring more transparency to healthcare prices and who pays what. That's where we pick up the conversation again with Florida Blue CEO Pat Garrity.
Consumers in all walks of life want to understand the cost, the trade-off, and what their opportunity is. I think it's going to be important that as this area evolves, that we can see both the cost and the quality metrics, so you understand that you're not just buying the lowest possible price, you're buying low price with strong outcomes. And I think that's an evolving area because it's not always so black and white around the quality indices, and the industry and the health providers themselves are evolving how to measure for quality outcomes. But I think the two of them together give the consumer transparency, and anybody who's fighting consumer transparency, I think, is on the wrong side of the equation.
So how does this articulate and manifest itself for Florida Blue, a company that provides insurance coverage for the healthcare consumer, the user, at a transparent price? This is how much you pay every month, and this is the coverage you get, and here's your deductibles, and here's your copays. And then separately, you negotiate a price list with healthcare providers about how much you're willing to pay for the appendectomy or for the birth of a child or those kinds of things.
Yeah, one of the ways it manifests for us is that we have an application called Know Before You Go, and we actually teach people how to use that app in our retail centers. But you can go online and enter a service that you're looking to get in a particular geographic area, and we can help you with understanding what your financial obligation is and help you with understanding what the range of cost is in the market.
And have you found that's the transparency that customers want? They don't want to know the real price. They want to know just what their out-of-pocket's going to be, what their exposure is.
I think there's a mix. I think the number one thing consumers want to know is what their obligation is.
Yeah.
But I think there's a mix. There are people that want to understand the full story. And I think over time, there's going to be more and more opportunity to have the full picture available.
How do you think that articulates itself over time, that full picture? How does that develop for Florida Blue and still be able to provide a business model that works for you?
Well, I've seen it in other states, so it's not like we're reinventing the wheel here. There are states that have databases that show people the range of cost and quality based on the results that are happening in the marketplace. So unclear as to whether that would be a statewide repository or whether that will be done by the individual companies. But there are states that have that in place today, and I think we'll, as the state of Florida, will migrate towards one of those transparent models.
These are usually called all-payer claims databases. These are the kind of the explanation of benefits that a healthcare or health customer gets after he or she has had a procedure or something. You get in it with all the gobbledygook of numbers in there, how much you have to pay, and then what the discount was, and what the health insurance provider, in this case Florida Blue, Pat, what your company would pick up. That all payer claims database would capture all of that information. And to what end? For Florida Blue, what does that get to?
You know, all payer is one end of the spectrum. There are other models that are out there as well, where plans have voluntarily put information into a third-party organization who does a transparency model, and people can look up data. But I think at the end of the day, you need to be able to provide to consumers information so that they understand what their cost options are, what the outcomes options are in their marketplace. And so we'll work to put that together for our customers by refining what we already do and making sure that we have more services and more transparency as we go forward. One of the challenges will be that as you move away from fee-for-service, the cost becomes a little less clear, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not just a per transaction basis. So it becomes a little more challenging to give a very specific cost for a specific service if somebody is responsible for managing the health of a population. So this, if it was simple, it would have been done a while ago. This stuff is fairly complex.
Yeah, very much so. And I want to talk about that idea of moving away from fee-for-service and still trying to attain some kind of transparency. But I don't want to let this idea of a all-payer claims database go just for a moment here, because in the governor's budget proposed for 2016, he's got $5 million earmarked for an all-payer claims database to begin constructing this thing that would, in the governor's office's words, expand consumer information available at floridahealthfinder.gov, the state's own healthcare transparency online effort. Is this push toward an all-payer claims database something that Florida Blue can support within the state of Florida?
Oh, I don't think you'd find us opposing it. I think we think that visibility to cost is an important place to be. We just want to make sure the devil is always in the detail around
right.
these arrangements. And so conceptually, that's a good idea, but you want to make sure that if you're pricing that is not on a fee-for-service basis, how would that be compared to something that is on a fee-for-service basis?
That's one of the devils here. What are some of the others as you look at this push toward more fuller transparency in the state of Florida, the Florida Blue? Because obviously your data is, it's a rich mine for Florida healthcare with, 30, 40% of the individual market that Florida Blue has?
We do have almost 30% of the marketplace, but I will tell you that what I have seen in other states is the dreaded unintended consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was in some places when price comparisons went out, the providers who were on the low end of the spectrum, they saw it as an opportunity to move to the higher prices that others were getting. And so the database was intended to give consumers the visibility and the opportunity to put pressure on the market to come down. And in fact, some places it backfired and the market went up.
That's one of those concerns, because when we're talking about transparency, it's not just transparency for the healthcare consumer. It's transparency for your competitors, not only your insurance competitors, but also mm-hmm. those folks that may have gotten carved out of a narrow network for a plan that you provided.
That's exactly right. And so what you want to make sure is that you understand fully the issue, you have good guidelines and rules in place, you fully understand what you're exposing to the consumer, and that you're not creating a negotiating opportunity, not only for competitors, but for one doctor versus another doctor. I mean, the competition could be for the higher reimbursement, not for the lower reimbursement. So there's a lot to this issue, and it's far from resolved at this point.
So let me give you a almost a blank slate then, Pat Garrity, chief of at Florida Blue. If the devil's in the details and the state of Florida wants to push this idea of an all-payer claims database, you've got some concerns. How do you construct it that could answer those concerns and yet still achieve greater healthcare price transparency?
Well, I don't think we have the time to resolve that on this particular moment
right.
in time, because
granted
it's a pretty,
give me
pretty
some
complex conversation, and it gets into a lot of detail. But I think the important thing here is to say that we would be interested in being a stakeholder, interested in being in the discussion, interested in working with the state on how to construct it. And we would be happy to have people on the team, on the ground floor, making sure we don't make the mistakes other states have made.
Have you had conversations with the governor's office about this idea of constructing a database with Florida Blue's representation?
I have not specifically had that conversation myself, but our team is actively involved in Tallahassee, and we discuss all the issues that touch healthcare.
Pat Garrity, the boss at Florida Blue. It's the largest provider of individual health insurance in the state. Still to come, how 3 years of the individual insurance market under Obamacare has changed other insurance markets.
We've seen the greatest impact in the small employer part of the marketplace. And, you know, a number of small employers have allowed their employees to go to the marketplace.
So that means they've ended offering employer-based coverage.
Yes.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. We're talking about health insurance with the leader of the biggest health insurance provider in the state, Florida Blue. It expects to sign up 250,000 new customers during this open enrollment season. The deadline is tomorrow to get coverage by the first of the year. By the time open enrollment is over, Florida Blue expects to cover 600,000 Obamacare patients statewide. Now, that would give Florida Blue more individual customers than it has in its traditional employer-based insurance business. The impact of Obamacare on employer-based health insurance is where we continued our conversation with Pat Garrity, the CEO of Florida Blue. Are the small employer health plans getting priced out?
Well, it becomes a bigger challenge for small employers. I think it really talks about what you want to do in terms of recruiting employees, and that's where employers have always felt the value of their employee benefit package and how they distinguish themselves in the marketplace for talent. And so that will continue to be the question that small employers have to answer for themselves is it a distinguishing element to recruiting and retaining talent?
And so that question could come down to I could offer a healthcare package that costs a company X, or I could not offer the healthcare package and essentially put that toward a paycheck for somebody and let them take the responsibility and the risk of finding their own healthcare.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of cost-value trade-off and decision-making that small employers are making all over the place.
What have you seen as far as an impact on the employer market from the healthcare.gov market that Florida Blue has been involved in here in Florida over the past now almost 3 years?
We've seen the greatest impact in the small employer part of the marketplace. A number of small employers have allowed their employees to go to the marketplace.
So that means they've ended offering employer-based coverage.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I would say to you that at the same time, an important bipartisan decision was made in Washington, D.C. recently, and that was to cap the exchange at 50 when there had been a previous intention to go to 100 as the small group level. I think there's a variety of things at play, one of them being the government isn't sure how they would fund having employers up to 100 be in the pool, because you now open it up to much greater government subsidy in the mix. And there's a big fiscal issue involved in that particular decision. So you notice that on a bipartisan basis, the government stepped away from expanding the small group marketplace.
Yeah, it's still capping it at 50. What about any impact from the ACA plans that Florida Blue has experienced on the medium or larger size employer-based market?
That market has not really been affected significantly by the ACA. I mean, everybody gets some impact, but substantially that market has held together pretty solid.
So when we see utilization increase, for instance, in part attributed to hundreds of thousands of Floridians entering into the health insurance market for the first time in a long time, if not the first time ever, that utilization hasn't necessarily seen an impact on pricing or networks in the large employer market?
That's correct.
Why do you think that hasn't found its way into the larger market?
I think the larger market has been creative about their plan design. I think they've been effective at rolling out wellness and prevention programs. I think there's a lot of education that happens from the employer to the employees. I think lots of larger employers have made their workplace healthier places. So you see walk at work programs, you see healthier selections in their cafeterias, you see people that are conscious of their vending machines, you see a variety of things happening in that large employer marketplace to stem the tide of being just open to all of the drivers that have previously existed.
The CEO of Florida Blue, Pat Garrity, the biggest individual health insurer in the state. Still to come, how Florida Blue would like to change the Affordable Care Act.
I think when you add it all together, the taxes that were on everybody, the taxes that were on pharmacy, the taxes that were on device manufacturers, the taxes that were on us, you know, collectively, it's probably 5 or 6% premium increase.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Repeal and replace. That's what you hear from the most critical of those of the Affordable Care Act. It's the law that requires Americans to get health insurance. Tomorrow is the deadline to sign up in order to get coverage by the first of the year. There are other deadlines in the weeks ahead. Now, as opponents wait and hope for a change in the political landscape to cancel Obamacare, it remains the business for health insurance companies today, and it's a huge piece of business at Florida Blue. But that doesn't mean the company doesn't have its own wish list for changes it would like to see in the law. Back to Pat Garrity, CEO of Florida Blue. Has the Affordable Care Act been good for business for Florida Blue?
The Affordable Care Act has certainly grown our membership, and I think we've done a good job of effectively managing that. I would say to you that the Affordable Care Act could be improved. We continue to lobby for improvements in the Affordable Care Act, but we have, I think, done a good job of managing the law that we needed to comply with, and that we continue to cover more people in our state. And I think we've done an effective job of adjusting our business to be ready to serve as many Floridians as possible.
On those list of improvements that you and Florida Blue would like to see for the ACA, give us what are the top two priorities?
Well, I'd say to you, if we're really trying to be affordable in this program, then you would look at what are the things that are pushing up cost. One of the things pushing up cost is having a lot of taxes that are in the bill. So we tax device manufacturers and we tax insurers. It's kind of a misnomer in my mind to say we've taxed device manufacturers or we've taxed insurers, because ultimately the consumer bears that expense. The device manufacturers will pass on that cost. The insurer will pass on the insurer fee, and the consumer ends up paying for that. Actually, the large employers are outside of this because they are not part of the Affordable Care Act. So individuals in small groups, those who are having the toughest time paying for health insurance, are picking up all the taxes that were in the bill. What we know is those taxes were loaded in when the bill was first designed because they priced out what the Affordable Care Act would cost. The bill came to over $1 trillion, and from a marketing standpoint, they felt like they had to have that cost under $1 trillion to sell it, so they added taxes to pay for the expense of the bill. To me, that's completely misguided as in terms of what we should be trying to do here. We shouldn't be raising cost and tax when you're trying to produce affordable care. So I'd go right after those taxes, right up front, because they end up being a burden to the consumer.
As a nonprofit mutual holding company like Florida Blue is, you're subject to those taxes?
We are. And we have to pass those on to consumers.
And how much do you think that adds to an annual premium or a monthly premium?
I think when you add it all together, the taxes that were on everybody, the taxes that were on pharmacy, the taxes that were on device manufacturers, the taxes that were on us, you know, collectively, it's probably 5 or 6% premium increase. And unfortunately, the number increases. So each year, that burden goes up through 2018. So we continue to see a tax burden there. That is, not abating.
Florida Blue CEO Pat Garrity speaking with us from our sister station, WJCT in Jacksonville. Wanda Miles is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening today.